Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. It's me, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and oh, I'm so excited because we've got David Crowley here today. He's the Milwaukee County Executive, but he is also the last Wisconsin gubernatorial candidate that I get the chance to talk to. And I've really been waiting for this, David, because you're very interesting.
Uh-oh. I hope it's a good interesting.
It's a great interesting. And when I look at the field of candidates running for Wisconsin governor, it is big and it's diverse. And the one thing that I think Wisconsinites in general agree on is they don't know you all well enough. So our goal here today is for us to get to know each other a little bit, for you to share your story and your vision, which you have shared a little bit in the media, but there are some things that I really want to build on. So why don't we just start with, before we get into like the race and the policy stuff, where does your story start? You grew up in Milwaukee's famous zip code 53206. There are a lot of people who don't know what that means or what it's like to grow up there. Tell us all about it.
Well, first and foremost, thank you, Kristen. I'm glad to be on the show. I'm glad that you are doing this to not only learn yourself, but to allow other people in our community a chance to really learn what is happening in our world. So I truly want to say thank you. But when it comes to me, I'm a Wisco kid through and through, right? You know, born and raised in the city of Milwaukee. You know, I love to hunt, I love to fish. My dad has traveled all across this state. And so I'm one of three. I'm a middle child. So I had to not only learn how to take orders, I had to learn how to give orders. Uh-huh. And when we talk about the 53206 zip code, this is one of the not only poorest communities in the entire country, but one of the most incarcerated zip codes in the entire country. And growing up, I went to Milwaukee Public Schools my entire life. But we also had a share of challenges. My parents were great, but they suffered from both drug addiction as well as mental health. And we were evicted 3 times before I even graduated high school. For at least 15 years, we moved every single year during my teenage and young adult years. But, you know, going to public schools, which was pretty much the only, you know, foundation that I really had that I could lean on. I'm glad I had teachers, neighbors, mentors who looked at me and said, that kid deserves a chance. And it was a youth organization when I was a junior in a high school called Urban Underground at the time that literally swooped in, got involved, and it changed my entire life. And when I say changed, it kept me alive at the exact same time because, mm-hmm. you know, moving around so much, there's a lot of instability. And so if it wasn't for those programs for public schools, I wouldn't be here. And so instead of, you know, going directly into college before graduating, I actually did 2 years of AmeriCorps. I did 2 years of Public Allies. My first job right out of high school was helping ex-offenders find employment and housing when they were being released from prison. It was one of the hardest jobs I've ever had in my life, but one of the most fulfilling. And that continued me to do community work, working for Children Outings Association, COA, working with inner city young people, helping them get in there, you know, introducing them to things and actually taking them outside of their comfort zone, outside of their neighborhoods to introduce them to things that they wouldn't have seen every single day because it's hard for our young people to inspire or aspire to be something that they've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And then I started working for the YMCA. And then I started working for Safe and Sound as a community partner, working directly with our law enforcement officials, you know, building up community, getting them access to community resources. And then I got a call to actually get involved in politics. And so I got my first start in politics in 2010, working for a name that we haven't heard in a long time, United States Senator Russ Feingold. Mm. And we had the opportunity to travel across the state. Not only did I learn so much from him about, you know, having integrity and what it means to push good policies and building relationships on both sides of the aisle, but I learned that I actually love the work. Mm-hmm. And so I continued to do political organizing until he lost that election, unfortunately. It's like we got rid of one of the best United States senators and elected one of the worst United States senators, unfortunately.
Why do we do this?
It's a good question. And so after that, I worked for the party for a while in 2011 during the recall elections. And then I got a phone call from a sitting elected official to come work for her. So I worked as a legislative staffer for the Milwaukee County Board for almost 2 years. And she then became a state senator. And she basically told me I'm going with her. And mm-hmm. so I worked in the state Senate for 4 years, lived in Madison for at least one of those years. But unfortunately, I had to move back home because I needed to take care of my mother because of her physical illness that she had at the time. And so I had to take care of her and commuted to Madison, working for then State Senator Nakia Dodd. And then I got bit by that bug to run myself. Mm-hmm. And so in the spring of 2016, I ran for city council, and the best thing happened to me, Kristen. I lost the race. Mm. And I say it was the best thing. One, strengthened my relationship with my then girlfriend, now wife. We just celebrated 10 years.
Congratulations. This week. Yes.
Thank you. And you know, it just taught me about resilience. Talking about, you know, we always say when you fall, you get back up. Mm-hmm. And that was truly a moment where I had to get back up. And then I decided to run for state assembly here in the city of Milwaukee and won my primary race with 56% of the vote. Mm. And was elected to the assembly district 17 to represent the city of Milwaukee. But on top of that, my colleagues, they voted me to be the chair of the Milwaukee delegation, chair of the Black Legislative Caucus. And we were able to do incredible work while I was in the legislature. And then I leaped before I look. In November of 2019, I decided that I was going to throw my hat in the race to run for a county executive. And in May 4th of 2020, I was sworn in as the first African-American elected to the seat. I am not sure what just happened. My computer just
started on me. Are we good?
All right. We're good.
Okay. You were just talking about when you decided to throw your hat in the ring as Milwaukee County exec.
Yeah. So in November of 2019, I decided to throw my hat in the ring to run for office for the Milwaukee County executive position. And in May 4th, 2020, as just put that in perspective, I was masked up in front of my home being sworn in as the youngest and the first African-American to be elected as county executive. And I will tell you, that was an extremely challenging time, right? When you're dealing with the pandemic, you know, you're coming into an office representing 19 different municipalities, close to 1 million people, a sixth of our entire state's population. Mm-hmm. But we were able to defy the odds. You know, one, you know, we were able not only to save lives, but working directly with the Governor Evers administration, we were able to use data to open up vaccinations in the top 10 most vulnerable zip codes, making sure that people get access to a life-saving vaccine. Because quite frankly, not everybody is an essential worker. And there are many people who don't have access to healthcare to know if they have a pre-existing condition. And so we wanted to open that up. And since then, we have been able to do what some would say was nearly impossible. We were able to build affordable housing here in Milwaukee County, 7 different projects, all happening for the very first time in suburban communities. And that's because we need housing everywhere, not just in urban centers. And there isn't a one-size-fits-all solution for Milwaukee County, just like there isn't one for the state of Wisconsin.
Right.
And so we've realized that we have to bring communities to the table. And when we're talking about solutions, we have to make sure that we're listening to people who are directly impacted on the ground in each community to make sure that they have ownership and whatever we're putting in place is going to be in place for future generations. And so we want to scale up what we've done around housing. We've also rebuilt our mental health and crisis response. We're the first EMS system in the entire state of Wisconsin that are delivering whole blood transfusions in the field. The first EMS fire-based system in the entire country doing this work. Because we believe in no wrongdoer, that no one should have to engage with multiple agencies. You know, we've created the no wrongdoer model of care, which means that no matter how you enter a Milwaukee County services, we want to make sure we wrap around all those other services so you don't have to make multiple phone calls or walk through multiple doors. And because of that work, we've seen a reduction in overdose deaths by 30% in just 1 year. We've seen a reduction of people utilizing, you know, our ER rooms as their primary care doctor. We've seen a decrease of people coming into our jails, saving our local taxpayers to the tune of close to $30 million. But on top of that, we've delivered the largest property tax cut in our county's history, because we realized that the problem has been the state of Wisconsin, who have pretty much forgotten about local units of government, forgot about our local school districts. And so we were able to pass Act 12, bringing Democrats and Republicans together across the state. And when they passed Act 12, that gave every city, every county, every town, every community more money in shared revenue to continue to pay for what matters. And so now I am embarking on this journey to run for governor. And the reason why I'm running for governor is because I believe everybody in our state, no matter what zip code they live in, no matter who they love, no matter what they look like, they deserve the opportunity to write a story like me. There's a story towards success. And so this is about how do we build a winning coalition, not just to win in August, but to beat Tom Tiffany in November, beat Donald Trump in November, and show not just Wisconsin Democrats, but Democrats across the entire country that we are ready to start governing on day one.
And I definitely want to dig into things like housing and some of the incredible successes you have commandeered during your really challenging time. And let's remember, when you took over in Milwaukee County, as you said, it was COVID. You had a mask on. This was not easy times. So there is a lot to be proud of there. But I want to go back to you and your history, because here's the thing. When you come from a challenging background and you overcome, you get that hand up that you need. Somebody sees something in you and you embark on this trajectory. You can do whatever you want. You can go wherever you want. But you went back to Milwaukee. Yeah. You tucked it in your hometown after you had been to Madison, after you had done some other things, because you felt some sort of a commitment. Why?
You know, growing up, I really appreciate that question, because growing up, I was encouraged to leave. I was told, go to college somewhere else. There are so many more opportunities outside the state of Wisconsin. And I felt that, you know, if we continue to tell our young people to leave this state, who's going to be here to build this state, to create and build upon the foundation that was laid for us by our ancestors? And so it actually reminds me of a story. You know, I remember walking into a restaurant and I seen a business owner and a lawyer, and they were having a conversation. And I just sparked up, you know, asking them questions. And I told them I was interested in leaving Wisconsin because that's how, you know, I've been encouraged to do that. And he asked me, you know, what kind of work I was doing. And I told him I was doing community work and how I was interested in politics. And he said, well, you sound like you're pretty well connected. I was like, well, I would say so. And he says, like, you're a decent sized fish. And I didn't know where he was going with that. And so I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you're in this pond called Milwaukee. Now, you're a decent sized fish, which means that, you know, not every fish will be able to eat you. But at the same time, you can pretty much create your own way. But if you decide to leave Milwaukee, you're going to be in a much bigger pond. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to be a smaller fish in that pond. And so why not stay here, focus on building up your own community, what your own future looks like, and then become a bigger fish before you decide to leave. And even though, you know, I've always kept that story in my back pocket and always remember that conversation in that restaurant. But even though I've slowly become a bigger fish, for example, being the second highest executive here in the state of Wisconsin, I know I want to stay here because I want to make an impact, not only the community that I grew up in, but all of the surrounding communities here in the state of Wisconsin. Because if we're going to believe in our state's model, which is moving forward, that means that we can't continue to allow families to be left behind because they can't afford the basics.
That's so true. And that really resonates with me. I grew up in Kaukauna. I'm living like 20 minutes away from where I grew up. You know, I'm a first generation college student, had to fight for it. But I love these people and I know these people, and we don't always agree on everything, but I think we want kind of the same things for each other. We want an affordable life. We want our families to be healthy. We want clean air and clean water.
Yes.
Yes. And I want to go back to family for you, because that is really at the center of what you do. You've said that this campaign isn't about you. It's about your family and your future. You are a girl dad times three.
Times three.
Uh-huh. Tell me about Erica and your daughters.
So I tell Erica, you know, I tell folks, she is my better three quarters. You know, there's no way that I would be able to do this work if I didn't have a strong partner. And, you know, she not only encourages me, she lifts me up, and she pours into me every single day to make sure that I am motivated and I continue to do this work. And so, Erica, I love you. You know, I just want to make sure I throw that out there, because I wouldn't be able to be here without her and without her. And so girl dad times three. My oldest, her name is Alyssa. She's 18, senior year right now. So we're going through the motions of college, which has been very interesting. Uh-huh. Then we have Ava, who is 8 years old. And then we have Autumn, who is 6 years old. We call them the A squad. the A squad. And so all of them, they just like their parents, we all graduated from MPS. We're Markey Public School alums. And all of my children go to Markey Public Schools. My oldest daughter is a theater major at Markey High School of the Arts. And my two youngest daughters, they're actually fluent in German because they attend German immersion elementary school here in Milwaukee.
So Milwaukee.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
German. Oh, yeah. Where's your daughter going to go to college?
You know, we're still figuring that out. And, and right now we're at that point to where she doesn't have a lot of time. But Kristen, she found a way to shut me up, you know, because I've been pushing her and pushing her. She's a 4.0 student. Mm. You know, she's a really good kid. She works. She does all these things. And I've been asking her, like, where are you going to go? And the way that she shut me up, Kristen, is her response. She said, well, it depends on who gives me the most money. Uh-huh. And that is the one thing that's the dream that every parent wants to hear, that they're going, that their child is thinking about the cost of college, but not just the cost of tuition and room and board, but the cost of living. Mm-hmm. So she has FAMU on the list. She has Clark Atlanta on that list, University of Chicago. And the one Wisconsin school that she's thinking about is UW-Whitewater.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah. It is hard, though. I think this generation, so I have four boys and two have graduated from college. One is at Stevens Point, okay, studying theater right now, actually. And they do think about it that way, because when I went to college, it wasn't nearly this expensive and we could get cheap loans. And they have a very different future that they're looking at, and they're savvy to that.
Well, I mean, they have to be savvy, right? I mean, even with this new administration that's just come in and how they're, you know, attacking, you know, the student loan process right now, you know, and I'm very unique when it comes down to this race, right? Because I actually got my degree while being county executive of Milwaukee. I graduated in December of 2024. One, it was a promise that I made to my mother before she died. And because when I became the county executive, she was adamant on saying, you cannot be like Scott Walker. You have to go and graduate college. And so I made sure to do that. But I wanted to be an example, right? You know, be an example not only to my daughters, but there's so many individuals who have, you know, maybe 6 or 12 credits left, or wondering if they should go back to school because, you know, their high school years wasn't that great. Mm-hmm. And like, they weren't that great for me neither. But I realized that I've had a lot of life lessons in between that time. And so to be able to go back to school, give the commencement speech, even at my own graduation, was very inspiring. It was encouraging. And now I want to make sure that every single student here in the state of Wisconsin, no matter your age, right, you have the ability to attend and focus on, you know, and increasing your own earning power and being able to have that respectable degree behind your name.
Yes, investing in yourself, investing in your future, investing in your community.
Yeah.
Now, I want to pivot, because you have described yourself as the only candidate who can do all three things: boost turnout in Milwaukee, grow margins in the suburbs, and hold the line in rural communities. That is a really bold claim in a crowded field for a guy who is very Milwaukee. Make the case for me.
Well, you know, a lot of people may not know this, but I won my reelection in 2024 with 85% of the vote.
Wow.
And as you can imagine, that wasn't just winning the city of Milwaukee. That was winning every suburban community right here within Milwaukee County. And so I know that we can make those connections with suburban communities because we've been able to invest, and we've seen that related to our parks and public space investments, how we supported small businesses, as well as the housing projects that we're seeing. But when it comes down to rural communities, you know, I've spent a lot of time, you know, outside of my comfort zone, going to different places, going duck hunting in Winneconne, or going to Stevens Point to do some fishing. And so I'm the only candidate in this race that can honestly say, even as a local elected official, not even in my state capacity, as county executive, I have delivered for everybody, right? Because when we were facing the largest fiscal cliff in Milwaukee County's history, I didn't just go to Madison and say, you know what, I need this for Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. We actually started with a statewide tour to actually build a coalition. And so we received over 175 stakeholders who signed on, right? So we started going to Rhinelander, we're going to Green Bay, we're going to Wausau, you know, we're going to all these different places, La Crosse, to talk to not just local elected officials, but local community leaders, business leaders, to talk about the need for more shared revenue. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, many people, you know, when I first started the conversation, they looked at me and went, well, why the hell would we help out Milwaukee? But I helped them understand that there's no difference between Milwaukee and their communities, right? We have the most challenged and the most diverse community, but the issues that we're facing are just a little bit bigger because we have that level of population. But if we want to make sure that we don't go down the same road as a Detroit went, right, when it came down to their finances and having to go through bankruptcy, mm-hmm. it's time for us all to band together. And so working with the Wisconsin Counties Association, the Towns Association, the League of Municipalities and others, we were able to get Democrats and Republicans into a room that allowed for an increase anywhere between 15% at the lowest end to 400% in many cases, where there was an increase in shared revenue. And those dollars, they continue to pay for public safety, public infrastructure, priorities in rural communities in all four corners of the state and in between because of that work. And so I know that a rising tides lift all boats. And as the next governor, it's about how do we make sure that we tackle the issue of shared revenue, tackle the issue of funding our public schools long term, because these Band-Aid fixes that we continue to put over the shared revenue formula and the school funding formula is not going to work. And so as Democrats, we can't focus on strengthening the status quo. Right. We know that the status quo has not been working for many families and are leaving folks behind. And the status quo has been destroyed by folks like Donald Trump and Republicans who've been in office. And so we have to build back better. We have to build with more resiliency to make sure it can't be destroyed moving forward and that these programs, these services, these initiatives can make the biggest and broadest impact for many generations to come.
It's so important to think collectively about the whole state and what happens in Milwaukee, because it is such a huge part of the state with so many people and so much revenue.
Yes.
It affects what happens in Baraboo and Hudson and everywhere else. We are so connected. I think of it too in terms of health. We can't just focus on like the end goal where you're having a heart attack and now we've got to treat the heart attack. We need to prevent these things from happening. And that's why we need a great public health infrastructure. We need housing. We need education. And you've got a plan. I want to talk about your 30-day plan to tackle affordability, care, and opportunity. Three things that we keep hearing over and over again. Affordability, I think, above and beyond for everybody, because it hits you at the gas pump, it hits you at the grocery store. Let's talk about that 30-day plan. Why the tight timeline, and where do you get started with it?
So this plan is called the Badger Basics Plan. And the reason why we are not focusing on what we're going to do in the first 100 days is because I've been an executive for the past 6 years. And so giving vague promises, that's not what the community wants. They want to see folks deliver, focus on what those priorities are going to be moving forward. And when you think about 100 days, families do not get 100 days when they're facing an eviction, when they have a bill to pay. They have 30 days to get those things done. Mm-hmm. And in this plan, it's not saying that we're going to get everything done. We're drawing a line in the sand as far as what we need to do moving forward. And so with the Badger Basics, we're focusing on, just like you said, affordability, care, and opportunity. And so there are five things that we're going to focus on moving forward to let folks know what our priorities are going to be. And number one, it is making sure that we can repeal Act 10 and the right to work law so people can collectively bargain. We've seen how this has hurt many of our teachers across the state, as well as public service members and our community as a whole, when you think about the service delivery that has dwindled because of these Walker era policies, quite frankly, that we need to get removed off of the books. A second, we need to fully fund the special education gap, making sure that school systems don't have to choose between a state mandated service and whether or not they're going to cut programs and teachers' pay moving forward. But that also means that we have to fund our public schools to the tune of 2/3. We've broke our promise as a state. You know, by funding to the tune of 2/3, that would naturally ease the property tax pressures that we're seeing within many local municipalities. And we have to tackle that because we need to make sure that our school systems have everything that they need to grow their capacity to make sure that our children are being set up for success.
That's right.
And when it comes down to our children, we need to make sure that they have a better foundation of learning, right? And we do that by creating universal child care, capping child care expenses at 7%, creating universal pre-K so everybody's child, a child has the opportunity to build that better foundation of learning before they enter into our public school system. But we also know that in order to have healthy communities, people need to have access to health insurance. So we're going to create a public option for Badger Care. You know, this is already an existing program. So this will allow us not only to bring down those federal funding, Medicaid dollars and matching funds, but it will also help us get to parity much quicker. It's not just about our physical health. What about mental health? What about, you know, vision, dental? We want all of those things to be included. And then last but certainly not least, when you think about the five priorities, is strengthening our domestic violence prevention and support systems, right? We just recently learned about what happened in Kenosha, right? Because she wasn't able to get a restraining order. A good friend of mine who used to be the vice mayor of Coral Springs, Florida, was just murdered on April 1st by her husband days before she was going to announce for Congress. And just recently, what we've learned from the former lieutenant governor of Virginia, and you know that murder suicide. And so we know that there are many rural and urban communities, quite frankly, don't have access to the systems that they need. And so we want to make sure that we can provide that access, but also couple that, you know, with addiction prevention opportunities. How do we make sure that we're making our dollars stretch as long as possible so we can become the healthiest state in Wisconsin? And before I end, health isn't just our mental and physical. We need to focus on the social determinants of health, right? Money in your pocket is health. Housing is health. Access to healthcare is health. Childcare, public education, all these things allow us to measure not just individual success and outcomes, but community outcomes to make sure that the boats rise for everyone.
That's right. Being able to vote, having a walkable community, having clean water, having food that is healthy yes. in your community that you can access, all of those things. Like, we don't think of those as inputs when it comes to our health, but they all matter and they're all places where we can invest. And it all really starts with having a place you can call home. And nobody gets it better than a fellow who grew up in an unstable housing situation. You've got a plan. You understand that there's a housing crisis across the state, but that the solutions in Milwaukee aren't the same as the solutions in Marinette or Menasha. There isn't a one-size-fits-all solution. How do you put those pieces together to help these communities figure out what they need?
Great question, you know, because we do have the Wisconsin Housing Economic Development Authority. And I used to be a board member when I served in the state assembly, but also staffed that because my boss, when she was a state senator, she was also on that board. And so we know that we have access to capital dollars, but it's also about, one, how do we expand home ownership opportunities, loan opportunities, you know, down payment assistance opportunities, right? But it's also working with those local municipalities, right? We have to bring them and make sure they have a seat at the table. I've always been told if you don't have a seat at the table, you're on the menu. Right. And many local communities feel like they're being dictated to. And so the last thing that we can do and should do when we are in elected office or positions of leadership is go into somebody else's house, tell them how dirty it is and what we need to do to fix it. That's no, right. We need to bring them to the table. And so we need to ask them, you know, what do they need? How can we incentivize zoning changes to allow for more accessible dwelling units, right? So we can have more density. Because housing is not just about, you know, putting your roof over a head, right? It's also going to create stability for that entire community, helping to lower the property tax burden, bringing in more economic activity and more economic opportunity. And when you think about many of the jobs that are currently going unfilled right now because people don't want to travel, you know, an hour or two to get to work, we're now building those houses closer to those job opportunities. And so we want to make sure that we're working with the local towns, the villages, and the city councils to make sure that we're right-sizing these solutions to fit their particular needs and wants. Because we all have our own personalities per municipality. And so we can't act as if what works in Milwaukee will work in a Bayside, will work in a Bayfield, will work in a Wausau or in a Green Bay. We have to make sure that we're lending those voices to the solutions because those folks will then have more ownership and we'll be able to do a lot more moving forward.
I just, what you said there, the personality of your municipality, I'm feeling some sort of a campaign coming on. Here we are, Wausau, what's the personality of your municipality? You know, I could talk about healthcare all day long, and you know I would want to do that. But I'm really excited about the public option. But I definitely want to ask a question about abortion care. We already talked about how you're a girl dad times three. You have a wife. You have women in your life who you care about, but you're a guy. So where are you on abortion, and how, as governor, do you think you're going to be able to see this tumultuous time in Wisconsin through?
You know, even, you know, I've always been a leader. I want to continue to be a proponent in making sure that women have access to abortion care, right? This is healthcare, and we need to treat it as such. Matter of fact, when I was in the state assembly, I co-authored legislation declaring abortion as healthcare. And it's near and dear to me because I do have three daughters, right? And it's unfortunate that at this current moment, they have less rights than what their grandmother had. I want them to have the same, if not more, rights than their mother, than any other person here on earth. And so it's extremely important that we do everything that we can to enshrine abortion as healthcare in the state of Wisconsin so people can get access to their healthcare needs and wants. Because nobody should be in the doctor room making a decision between a patient and their doctor. We need to make sure that people have access to as much information as possible, but they need to have access to those services at the exact same time. And so we have to continue to push back. We need to make sure that we overturn the abortion ban that we have here in the state of Wisconsin and declare abortion as healthcare.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remind our listeners that it's still on the books.
Still on the books.
So we've got, you know, judgments in court, but the law is still on the books and it needs to be repealed. Let's chat about, you brought up Act 10. I remember being at the Capitol in 2011, brought my oldest son, who is now a public school teacher who lives in River West and loves Milwaukee.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, you got to start him early. And he's an advocate. He loves education. He loves to talk about it. Act 10 was devastating for Wisconsin. We are still living in the shadow of this terrible movement that we tried to push back on. It is very politically hot. This is part of your first 30 days initiative. It's a lot of political capital. Are you ready for this?
You know, this is something that we've been fighting for as Democrats for a very long time. And because we are in a really good opportunity, not only to keep the governor's seat blue, but being able to flip the state Senate and flip the state assembly, we have to do everything that we can to protect not just union workers, but protect all workers, right? Because unions, they're not just there for themselves. They are there to make sure that all workers have access to safety and making sure that they have dignity on a job. And so we want to make sure that people have the ability to collectively bargain. And so when I become the next governor, you know, we're going to bring every tool out of that toolbox to make sure that this is something that we can get done. Working directly with the legislature, no matter, you know, who is in control, but also making sure that we continue to support the ongoing legal battles that we're seeing go through the courts here in the state of Wisconsin. But I'm willing to use, you know, anything that I can do from the executive seat when it comes down to executive orders to overturn Act 10. It is time to put our workers in the driver's seat.
It is past time to put our workers in the driver's seat. Now, you are the picture of Milwaukee. And we talked about this, I think, the first conversation that we had. You grew up there. You govern there. You're raising your family there. You believe in that city. But Wisconsin is 72 counties, and a lot of those counties are very far from Milwaukee. I'll tell you, growing up in Kaukauna, Milwaukee was a big city. That was an event. We would go for a Brewers game, and then we would leave, and it was a lot for us.
Yeah.
Culturally, economically, politically, different municipalities all across the state. How do you earn the trust of the people who live in Superior and Stevens Point and Green Bay?
Well, you know, one of my favorite quotes is by Teddy Roosevelt, which is, no one cares what you know until they know how much you care.
That's right.
And, you know, I think that, you know, even my colleagues here, they were talking about being the, you know, the economic engine of the state, and that could be all good and dandy, but how do you do that without feeling like you're beating on your chest? We don't do this work by ourselves. Mm-hmm. We do this in partnership with every community across Wisconsin, because we need the rural farmers. We need the rural workers who are helping to contribute, you know, to our entire state's economy. So it's about meeting people where they are and building those authentic relationships, something that I believe we've lost in politics these days.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to give up your ethics, your values, your morals in order to compromise to make sure that we're delivering for the people that we represent. And so I still remember a particular story. I was in Rhinelander for a joint finance hearing, and I was inside of a supper club. And I wanted to talk to, and build relationships with folks I didn't know. So I met this couple, or I seen this couple, or I approached the wife, and she didn't have nothing to want to do with me. So I started talking to the husband, business owner, owns you know, a trucking company. And the first thing he starts talking about is how people don't want to work in Milwaukee. Now, I didn't know where this conversation was going to go, so I started to take a step back. But what he was, well, the reason why he brought it up was to say, Mark is no different than in Rhinelander. He is finding difficulties in finding good employees who really want to do their job, who can really put in the time to do the work. And so, you know, we continued to talk, and then he asked me to step outside. So I stepped outside for a while because he wanted to have a smoke. And we continued to talk, and his wife is leaving. And he says to her, "You can't leave yet." She's, you know, wondering, well, why not? He says, "You have to meet David." Right? He's the Milwaukee County executive. He's a Democrat. And I really like this guy.
Wow.
And I think, and this is really about meeting people where they are. Mm-hmm. And meeting people where they are isn't about just physically being there, but how do you leave a mark or initiative or a program that's going to continue to make an impact on their lives moving forward is what we have to be intentional on. Because people aren't just frustrated with who's occupying the White House. They're not just frustrated, you know, with the Republican Party. Heck, I'm frustrated with my own party too, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, we've been fighting back, but it's been very difficult to talk about what we've been fighting for, what our agenda is, what our vision is moving forward. And I think that once we're able to talk to the values of Wisconsinites here in the state of Wisconsin, it's going to give us the opportunity not only to keep the seat blue, but making sure that we can actually flip the state senate and state assembly and show folks that Democrats can go.
Building those connections that bring in your authentic self. I think you're exactly right. I think this is the cycle of authenticity because people are just so tired of being sold something that just isn't real. And they know.
I mean, they are. They are. You know, I mean, you know, when I first got involved in government, you know, people felt like you had to put on this facade. And like that gets tiring after a while. Take off the mask and be who you are. Right. Because we want to know where people come from. What do you value? But more importantly, are you going to fight on my behalf to make sure that I can get a piece of that American dream?
That's exactly right. So you know a lot about Wisconsin. You are highly accomplished, but you don't know everything, right? There's always room for improvement.
Oh, no. If I'm the smartest person in the room, we got a problem.
So what is that thing about Wisconsin that you still feel like you need to learn? Where do you still need to do the work to connect?
Well, you know, this is a big state, you know, and I think that there's so much more that we can always connect with, right? And like I said, I am a hunter, but I always want to continue to connect with those hunters because I do think that's a particular population we as Democrats have not been able to tap into. And I don't just look at them as hunters. I look at them as conservationists, right? They care about us having clean water. They care about us having clean air because they want to continue to invest in the environment, to make sure that they can continue to have their recreational fun. But that's also who we are. That's a part of our identity. And while I've had opportunities to be on many dairy farms, I want to go to a soybean farmer, right? I want to go see the ginseng farms. You know, I want to be able to continue to connect because my grandmother used to tell me, you know, everything you know, I can fit on the smallest corner of a piece of paper. And everything you don't know, I can fill the ocean with. And all of us, many of us, we don't know what we don't know. And there's so much in this world that we have to step outside our comfort zone and get comfortable being uncomfortable to build these relationships, to learn more. Because as long as we continue to be in the echo chamber, right, we're never going to be able to innovate and be creative and move our state forward the way it needs to be.
That's right. We have to be humble, I think, and we have to hear each other. Just like make that space and actually hear each other.
Oh, yeah. And be intentional about it, right? Yes. Like, you know, many, many folks respond, but don't actually listen to what is being said.
Right. Yeah, we're back to authenticity, which leads me to my next question. I only have a couple left because we've been chatting for a long time. At the end of the day, what do you think Wisconsin voters are really looking for? What cuts through all of the politics and the issues that everybody is struggling with right now?
You know, I think they want somebody who's going to be able to deliver. You know, I think, you know, you take what Governor Evers has been able to do for the past 8 years. He has been that steady, calm strength we've needed, right? You know, dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, helping to protect our democracy, protect women's rights, protect voting rights. He has been the best damn goalie that we could have asked for in the Democratic Party.
You're so right.
But he's also been up against a lot of opposition with our Republican-controlled legislature, who've quite frankly been extreme. And so I think folks are looking for government to actually work again. And that's where the frustration comes in at, right? Because right now there's a lot of political bickering. There are many politicians who rather focus on divisions and distractions and carry the water of our current president versus carrying the concerns of the people that they represent. And I think people are tired of not being heard. And so it's important that right now we build the biggest tent, right? Building a coalition. I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, independent, or don't give a damn about politics. We want you to lend your voice to this campaign because it's about you. This is a movement to make sure that Wisconsin is rowing in the right direction. And the only way to do that is to make sure that we have diverse voices, right? It's not just about diverse people. We need diverse voices. We need people who understand the different communities that we have across our states and bring them all together to move forward. And so people want somebody who's going to be a coalition builder, right? And they don't, it's not necessarily agreeing with somebody 100% of the time, but they know where you stand. They know you're going to fight for them. And more importantly, they know that you can deliver real results.
We don't agree with anybody 100% of the time, even the people we love the most in the world, which
exactly.
is why, yeah, we have to be ready for conflict and we have to be ready to hear each other and to try to compromise and find those things, those areas of agreement so we can move it forward. Forward, that's the motto.
And that's the motto, you know. But as we see now, there are a lot of people who like to attack somebody just because they disagree.
Right.
And this is why our politics are so broken, right? Because we don't have people coming to the table who are going to focus on, especially with the fact that we agree with majority of the things, we just disagree on how we're going to get there.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, this is my last question, and it's okay. A doozy. Are you ready?
Let's go.
We're going to dig deep into your Wisconsin knowledge.
Okay.
You've got to convince somebody to move to Wisconsin, but you only have three things to do it. You've got a place in the state, a food in the state, and an activity. They're all Wisco. What do you pick?
So a place, you know, it's hard to pick one place because I would just say anywhere in Wisconsin is great, but anywhere on Lake Michigan is just wonderful, right? One, you know, the views that we have of our Great Lake Michigan is just second to none. And it's our greatest asset that we have. So anywhere that you are, on the western part of Wisconsin, I will always, you know, encourage anybody to come visit because I know it's one of the most beautiful places. I remember, you know, being on a plane coming from Florida, you know, wondering why all these people was coming from Florida, but, you know, they were actually coming for the RNC and they were amazed. They were really amazed by how beautiful our lakefront is and how beautiful our state is. And if I had to think about a food, I mean, everybody loves a good bratwurst. But I'm always going to go to a cheese curd, right?
Yes!
You know, cheese curds are the best, you know, and I try to tell folks that, you know, if you've never had a cheese curd, you don't understand what it means. And if it doesn't squeak, it's not fresh, unless it's fried, right? And so
yes.
It's important for people to understand that a good cheese curd will squeak with every bite. And if there was one activity, that, you know, I would say, you know, a summer in Milwaukee is second to none. And that's because of the many ethnic festivals that we have here locally. But when I think about the state in general, this is one of the very few places that in the fall, you know, you can enjoy not just a dip in the pool, but you may be able to travel up north and go, you know, sledding and skiing and snowboarding because we have so much to offer. And so I have to give a quick plug and kudos, you know, to folks like Tourism Wisconsin who have been doing wonders and bringing more people to the state of Wisconsin, helping to boost our economic output as it relates to tourism.
I always think about Wisconsin being the origin of Earth Day. Gaylord Nelson, Clear Lake, Wisconsin, up in the Northwest, and all of the beauty we have here, all of the cool stuff, the hunting, the fishing, the mountain biking, you name it. There is so much here in our state, and we are so incredibly lucky to have it, which is why it's really important that we elect the right person for governor in November. I'm honored that you took the time to hang out with me today, and I would like to officially invite you to come to Scray's Cheese with me and enjoy some squeaky curds. Would you like to?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you for having me. I had a blast. This was such a joy to be on the show with you.
If people want to get involved, how can they find you and your campaign?
Absolutely. Well, you can visit our website, Crowley4Wisconsin.com, but you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever social media you are on or use the most. Crowley4WI is the tagline. So I'm looking to be a governor for all of us, but it's going to take all of us to make it happen.
It sure is. And I will have all of those links in the show notes. So friends, if you enjoyed this conversation, please like, share, subscribe, hit the bell to be continued. What a journey we have ahead. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.